nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. Nothing to see. Nothing to see.
You are listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental radio produced at NASCAD University. This episode is entitled Undertakers and Overachievers.
At a funeral home, the undertakers work the night shift. They usually start around 7 p.m. and they're out by 5 a.m. The morticians, who deal with the public, come in at about 9:30 in the morning and deal to 5. They're the ones that want to separate the money from the families. They've got about a 24-hour window to maximize their return on the emotional grief of the family. Then you have the support group, the front desk, and the individuals that pick up people collapsing on the floor and offering Kleenexes. It's a very cohesive group. They make a lot of money, and they are vultures on the emotions of the people who've just lost loved ones. The operational mechanics of a funeral home. The hearses arrive, or the vehicles arrive from the hospital, to the rear entry of the home. All bodies go to the basement. At this point, a majority of them being identified at the police headquarters or the hospital where they passed away. But the family needs to come and make arrangements. There's a number of charges that get assigned to a death. One is the transportation cost. Second is the level of embalming. But the main cost is, how much do you want to pay for a piece of wood you're going to put in the ground and you're going to rot? What's interesting, in North America at least, is most cemeteries are built on backfill, which means the water table is very high, which means if you put somebody in there, they're going to bloat up and rot. So the box is going to do nothing. So if you have a $5,000 mahogany box, you basically might as well burn it to heat your home. It's going to be useless in 18 months. If you have to exhume a body out of the box, it's already falling apart, and they come out like a bloated Kenner Barbie doll. Just a giant Ghostbusters marshmallow man walking down the aisle, but you're pulling him out of the ground.
Terence drank alone at the bar. It was only 4 o'clock. Shot after shot. He felt alone, yet he was surrounded by fellow drinkers. He sat thinking to himself,
"You know, all I've ever wanted to be in life was an undertaker. You know, life is hard. Death should be easy and graceful. You know, you want to go out well. You want to know your remains are being taken care of. I wanted that. I wanted to be keeper of the dead. But this business, it's all family owned. Can't break in. Can't do nothing. So here I am, the best of the best. And all my work, everything I am, all the credit goes to someone else. Ridiculous."
Hello.
Andy's Chauvinist Pub, corner of Madison and Halstead. 50-cent hot dogs, pickled eggs on the bar, 10-cent cigarettes in the cigarette machine, and a bartender with 12 rubber bands wrapped around his hand and a wad of bills that could choke a horse under his palm. Typically, one light burning, shot in a beer, 70 cents. Beer stored in a refrigerator hadn't been plugged in for 20 years in a long bar. You find maybe three people sitting there. They'd hired recently a young college student who didn't know what she was getting into to work the counter.
Shirley anxiously walked over to the table where the man was sitting. She shivered, her hands shook a bit. She was wearing that tight black skirt that doesn't really fit around her thighs.
Why did I take this job? There's like a million things that I could be doing that are so much more productive. And I took this job like 4 years ago to pay for school and I'm still here. Never gonna get that undergrad done.
Terrence instantly looked up. She mumbled something about peanuts and water and drinks. He quickly responded with some profanity.
I can't stand seeing all of these, like, sad people all the time. Part of me wants to be that, like, femme fatale who can just let go of stuff. I'm just Barbara. That's not a femme fatale's name.
Shirley was a mid-20-something who had been working as a graphic artist for 7 years, but found herself in a bar, dealing up drinks to very low lives in just a rat-ass place. Her problem was she had worked in a design firm for 7 years and decided she was going to move out and move on. So, without asking permission, she decided to take a flight to Los Angeles to talk about getting a job. She arrived at 5:30, ended up going to a bar at 10:30, took some guy home to her hotel room to awake alone at 9 in the morning. Her appointment was 9 in the morning. She was able to get there pretty quickly, just threw on some clothes, went over, sat in the lobby for 15 minutes, and then was ushered into the office to be face-to-face with a gentleman she just spent the night with. She just turned on her heels, exited, ran out, flew home, and the next day was fired for leaving work without permission. Cemeteries that I was employed with, it was Eternal Gardens Park in Pointe Claire, Quebec. You have to have a sense of humor when you're burying people. We worked long hours in the summer, digging people up, exhuming them, and burying new bodies. I would dig and bury and exhume, on an average year, probably 70 bodies. Unless we were moving a graveyard, then I would exhume up to 600 bodies a summer. They never ask if you want to exhume a body. They always say, would you like to exhume a body? There's always a premium to get the body out of the ground. They always give you an extra $50 to take out something that looked like chicken of the sea in a can and put it into a box to move somewhere else. Quite often you have to locate the body. If you've got a clay bed and water, it's not where it should be. It's down three spots on top of somebody else. So then you have the problem of identifying which body is the correct body to exhume out of the box. DNA wasn't very popular back in the 70s, so it was very difficult and you had to take a guess. Usually we were pretty close, but not always. I'm sure that some people ended up in Israel that weren't supposed to be there. It's just part of the game. One time we were digging a new grave hole and we found a body that shouldn't have been there. Turns out it was a murder victim from the mid-60s. The police came and we sealed off half the cemetery while they tried to figure out what it was and why they were there. There's lots of other stories, like Molly's legs, where somebody would reach down and say, hey, here's Molly, and pick up two shin bones and everything fell off her body. It's a business of humor. We had a volleyball team and a softball team. We were the Eternal Gardens people planters, so we played in the Industrial League. So the people planters always did fairly well because everybody laughed so hard. We go to banks to cash our checks, and on Fridays we go to the Royal Bank, and there'd be always a line at 3 o'clock, right before they closed in the old days at 4. But we'd be covered in dead people dirt, boots, T-shirts, and the parting of the Red Sea as they gave us preference to walk right up to the counter and cash our checks. Nobody wanted to be around us because we just smelled like dead people.
There was a soft ambience this Monday evening. Someone had put on the jukebox. The Turtlenecks were playing in the background. A man was stumbling towards the bathroom, vomit on his shirt, with a cigarette stuck up his nostril and blood pouring out of one of his eyes. A typical Monday evening at Andy's chauvinistic pub. The lights turned on above the bar. Someone had stolen a James Morgan 42. Shotgun fires could be heard outside the door. Probably the police again.
For even when Don't tell me how to live my life. Don't tell me how to live my life. Even when the skies are gone, I'll see you. Even when the
time only exists when you are alive. When you die, all your experiences of life are condensed into a single moment. You experience them all at once, forever. For us now, here in the flow of time, this is impossible for us to imagine. But in death, where we no longer have a consciousness to filter the world, our experience of the world is like a solid block of data that can be accessed from any direction. Without time, we are alive in ways that we can't imagine. Death is a place without moment, without change. In the moments before you die, memories are compacted into this solid state. Memories play out like a movie. Perhaps we make movies as a rehearsal for this process of dying.
Okay, everyone, places. This is the final scene, so let's make this one count. And action.
Take one.
That didn't go the way I thought it would at all. Poor effort. Oh well, give it another try.
Take two.
Better, yes. Definitely improvement, but I still need to have another go.
Take three.
Why is this so hard? In my head, it seems easy. I'll give it another go.
Take four.
Was that it? Well, definitely better. But is it the best I can do? I'll try it again.
Take five.
No. It's all wrong. I have to be more critical. I've got to rethink my whole approach here. Okay, game face. One more time. Let's do it.
Take six.
Nope. Again.
Take seven.
Not there. But I can taste it. You know, I can do this. I can do this. Yeah, I can do this. Okay, here we go.
Take eight.
Yeah, almost. Climbing a mountain. Okay, endurance, focus. Okay, I gotta do this. Okay.
Take nine.
Oh god, that was awful. What happened to my momentum? I was in the zone. Okay, eyes on the prize. Don't give up.
Take ten.
Okay, I'm psyching myself out. That's what's wrong. I'm overthinking it. Oh, now I'm overthinking my overthinking. I gotta free my mind. Hold on a sec. Okay. Okay, okay, I'm ready to go.
Take 11.
Okay, that was it. I nailed it. Yeah. He shoots, he scores. Yeah, maybe one more though, just in case, you know. One in the bank. Okay, one more, yeah.
Take 12.
Oh, was that better? I think it was. That one was definitely good, or better. Maybe better than the last one. Yeah, well, hey, well, I'm on a roll. Look, I gotta do another one. Okay, another one.
Take 13.
Okay, I just don't know anymore. I feel like I'm doing okay, but I'm definitely doing better than I did at the beginning, but I'm thinking, you know, thinking about it differently. Yeah, the question is, you know, is it actually better? I mean, I think it is, but I'll give it another one.
Take 14.
No, this is good. Yeah, no, I could stop now. I got this. But again, is it as good as it gets? Is it a piece of beauty, a wonder to behold? I don't suppose. Yeah, I guess I can give it another go. All right, I'll try something different. Different, a different flavor. Why not? Okay, here I go.
Take 15.
Why am I so good? I could do this all day. A font of brilliance. Okay, I'm hot. Let's keep doing it.
Take 16.
Who am I kidding? I am an amateur. I do not deserve the space that I am taking up. Oh man, I should just give up. Gotta keep going though. Gotta keep going. One more chance.
Take 17, everyone.
Again, I don't know. Is that better? Who am I to say? I think I got it. I think that last one was pretty good. Pretty good. Oh, okay, I'm gonna try it again.
Take 18.
Don't you know that everything comes with a price? Can't you see that you and me, we're gonna pay twice? Don't you know I got you for do da da da? Can't you see that you and me come with a price? Don't you know that everyone they're gonna pay twice? Can't you see? Don't you know? Da 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 da. With a price, can't you see that you and me, we're gonna pay twice? I am one, you are two.
Thank you.
Wait a second. Is that... No way. No freaking way. Is that the guy? Oh, the janitor was talking about him this morning. Apparently, they found him with...
What took place in an early summer evening was a body came into the morgue from a car wreck.
Apparently, he knew the girl.
17-year-old woman.
This is only 17.
Girl, really? The attendant checked her in, did the paperwork, and then when he started taking off the drapes to do the work he had to do on her, realized he knew her.
Apparently they knew each other from high school, or I guess he knew her. Something tells me she probably wouldn't have taken a second glance at this guy.
He'd always liked her. He was 2 years older than she was. He was 19 now. She was 17. She was a senior in high school, just graduating.
But...
Dead. So after he did all the work on her, cleaned her up, opened her up, stabilized her, embalmed her, he decided, hey, it's my turn.
I guess he'd done what he needed to do and then looked at the body and just thought...
About 5:30 in the morning, in came the priest, in came the family, in came the funeral director to find this guy.
Apparently, the next morning, they came in. Parents, priest, everyone. And caught him in the act.
20 minutes later, he's in the back of a squad car being driven off.
Oh, God. Disgusting.
You have been listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental radio produced at Nazca University. This episode was entitled Undertakers and Overachievers. It was produced by and features Mike Day, Lucian Easton, Raph McDonald,
Nicola Sirtwell,
Maeve Mulroy, Lil McDonald, Aidan McMahon, and David Clark. Songs and music by Ross Unger. The sound design and the mixing were by David Clark. Nothing to See Here is produced by David Clark at Nazca University. For more episodes, please search for Nothing to See Here Radio on SoundCloud.com. Also, please like us on our Facebook page, Nothing to See Here Radio.